Kathy Bates. And we will be live on Facebook. So for those of you that are on Facebook at home, please feel free to drop your questions into the comments section and use the hashtag #ThisIsBS. All right, so the whole gang is here, and Willie had a few additional naughty characters to join the cast of the film. So Kathy, Christina, tell us about what it was like joining this raunchy comedy, and Mark, tell us about what it was like directing it.
Me first?
Yeah, you're
okay.
Closest.
Well, I had seen the first one, so when they said, hey, you want to play Billy Bob's mother? I said, where do I sign? Because I was such a fan, and what can I say? I mean, I loved playing a biker chick because I've always wanted a motorcycle. I've always wanted tats. I've always wanted a mohawk. I've always wanted to do all of these crazy things and not give a you know what. So I got to do it with this wonderful character. Mark?
No, I mean, I was pretty thrilled too. I mean, I the fact that I kind of could slot right in with these three guys already here and then bring in these badass ladies was a thrill. But I mean, admittedly, when I met Brett, I was kind of freaked out, like Billy was in the movie. We were just, what? You're just a dude, you know? And people don't necessarily give this guy credit that he pulled a complete De Niro and like transformed back into Thurman Merman and his sweet spectrum status for the movie, and it was a real thrill.
How about you, Christina?
Well, same as Kathy. I mean, when I heard that I could work with this group of people, I was, you know, thrilled and excited, and you know, the first movie is sort of legendary, so I was nervous and excited, and they all made me feel very welcome. And I have always wanted to do something that you could just sort of throw yourself into with complete abandon and just 100% be raunchy and silly and just have a great time, and that's what it was for me.
And the three of you guys, Billy Bob Thornton, Tony Cox, and Brett Kelly, you guys are great at that. So when you guys jumped back on set, was it like old times?
Yeah. It was like old times for me. I mean, to work with Billy again and to go after him and the way we go after each other. It was just like family again. Brett Kelly, you know, to work with him. It was just like old times.
Are you guys, can you handle the fact that Tony's actually the sweetest person alive?
Yeah.
Because you know, Marcus Skidmore is like, you know, he just brings it on and you're like, what? Where did this come from?
And Brett, you were 8 during the first movie, right?
Yes. Yes.
And what was it like running lines for that? And who did you run lines with? There were some pretty hilarious one-liners in that one.
Well, yeah, that was the thing. Everyone always thinks that the first, oh, you must have been scarred because you were 8 years old hanging around with this sack over here. But no, because whenever I had to audition like 6 or 7 times for it, and every single time I had to run the lines with my dad. Uh-huh. So once you get accustomed to taking this abuse from your own father, it's pretty easy to just have someone else do it. So, no, yeah, but like when we got back into it, even before we started shooting, me, Billy, and Tony had like our first meetings for it. It was within 5 minutes, it felt like we'd never been apart. You would never have known it was 13 years since we did the last one. So it was really seamless, the transition of slipping back into it.
And Billy, do you think that your character is more likable because of Thurman's character?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think he helps out. I think people see that Willie was really just a neglected, abused kid, and he kind of sees himself in Thurman because he sees that Thurman never had much of a chance either. And so, you know, I think Willie probably is the kind of guy who wishes that he could be close to people, but he's afraid to because he's afraid that'll, you know, go down the shitter too. So I think it's I think that relationship, and also the way that Marcus and Willie have this weird friendship, and it's like You know, in the first movie, he tries to kill me. And yet, I go sit down at a cafe with him, and it's like, all right, what do you want? And then he says, I got a job. And it's like, why would I do that? You tried to kill me. And then he says, well, it's for this amount of money and all this kind of thing. I go, all right. You know, and so they have this weird sort of criminal relationship that kind of there's something sweet about it, huh, Tony? Yes. But yeah, I think so.
I'm not sure if sweet is the word I would use, but yeah, it's cute. I'll open it up to the press if you guys could just state your name and your outlet.
Hi guys, Debbie Elias behind the lens, Elias Entertainment. First of all, congratulations. This is riotous, raucous, rude, crude, nude, but over the top, hilarious, and filled with heart. Brilliantly done. And kudos to you, Mark, for pulling this off with this great cast. I'm curious, a film of this nature with the type of comedy, it's a double-edged sword. It may work, it may offend, but as we saw with the first one, this works on a universal scale. What do each of you think is the appeal of the comedy in Bad Santa 2?
And you can hear a pin drop.
Yeah. I've shown this movie to like test audiences. They all say, like, you know, Willie is OG gangster, you know, and he is just, there's something that is like this immediate street cred for anybody because he says the shit we're all thinking, and he says it the way we wish we could say it, but we never do. And there's just an appeal to everyone that somebody's kind of cutting through it and giving you the real deal the way that he does. And what we always like to achieve is that kind of thing called a gasp laugh. If people first like, what? I can't believe they said that, and then they're laughing. And that means it stays in the movie. If it's just a gasp, if it's just offensive, then it doesn't really need to be there. So,
hi guys, love the film. Louis Leco with Nuke the Fridge and the Nerd Report. You guys talked about how the original film is legendary. So my question is for Billy and the rest of the, what took so long to make a sequel?
Well, there are a few things that go into that. First of all, the studio was in transition a couple of different times. And, you know, it was bought and then changed hands and then came back and all this kind of stuff. So we had to wait for all the red tape to be sorted out, you know. That's one thing. We'd always talked about doing a sequel, and the movie was kind of made for a sequel. I mean, whereas, like, you know, dramas generally aren't, you know, sort of tailor-made for sequels, but comedies kind of are. But I think one of the mistakes that comedies make sometimes is that they do a sequel, if it's successful, they do a sequel immediately. And so you just have the same people you just saw. And so that in order to make it different, they just go really far with it. They make it broader generally. And in fact, with this one, it actually has a little bit more of an independent feel than the first one did, you know. I mean, it's part of that is because the rooms in Montreal are very small.
But it's very cold.
But yeah, it's very cold. But the other thing is that once we got the go ahead to do it, then we wanted to take great care. We thought maybe we'll never beat the first one, and you have diehard fans, and then critics, you know, are predisposed to, you know, not say good things about sequels. So we wanted to make sure we got close to the first one. That's really what we wanted to do. And what we wanted to do was keep the spirit of the first movie. So in essence, make the first movie again, only make it different too. Which is, I'd had another experience like that with Fargo. You know, it's like you're doing a revered movie. Now you're doing a 10-part series of that, so you want to keep that intact and yet make a new thing out of it. Very big trick to do, and credit to the writers and to Mark that they pulled it off, I believe. And so we took 3 or 4 years looking through scripts and several different incarnations before we decided on this one. And so those are the reasons. And I think in a lot of ways it helped us because you do have that distance. And also now Thurman is 21, And so you get to see a different guy, you know what I mean, as opposed to just the kid again immediately. And also you get the idea that, I just, to me it's funny that Willie is still alive. And not only is he alive, he's even more suicidal. And so that just automatically makes it funny to me. And you know, the movie doesn't, you know, apologize for anything. And yet the new one is more emotional than the first one. And it actually brings it closer to being an actual Christmas movie, because you do see that Willie has... Well, you see where he came from, and you kind of understand more why, you know, he's the way he is, and also you see his love for the kid, which you can't really admit, but you know he has it, and also the raunchy stuff, we even push that a little further. I mean, not in terms of, there's just as much cursing in the first one, but this one's more descriptive. and the cursing.
Thank you. Stephen Schaefer for the Boston Herald and for Kathy Bates.
Hi, Stephen.
So ever since you started off-Broadway in Vanities not so long ago, you've always had this natural warmth with your work, people love you. And now you're the meanest biker chick we've ever seen. Can you talk about this woman, and does she have any redeemable qualities at all? And, how did you sort of enter into it? And also, your iconic status that you've got now is where you're so revered by actors and the public.
Do you think this performance is going to damage that?
Time will tell. But was there a moment when you realized that you had sort of been put on this pedestal because of your work?
That's cracking under me. Well, my image, I think, for Sonny was that moment when Sigourney Weaver sees the mother alien. Suddenly you realize where all of the other ones are coming from. No offense, Bill. I'm not sure what your question was. Did you say what?
How did I
approach it?
Yes, and how do you see her?
How do I see her? I see her as somebody who doesn't trust anybody on the face of the earth to begin with. And I think someone who's come from a very rough background, not unlike she inflicts on her son. And she doesn't, there's a moment, I think, where she... her maternal instincts are stirred once they've ripped off the mansion together and they're splitting the booty in the van, and there's a moment, I think, where she feels the warmth of the moments where she, you know, chewed up the caramel for him when he was a baby, you know. She's selfish. She's a coward. She's
alcoholic?
I don't think she thinks she's an alcoholic. No, you know, I just think she's, you know, she likes the breakfast of champions every day. And she's the kind of woman that will want to drink you under the table on this floor and then the table under the, you know, on the bottom floor. But, and it was like Christina said, I just wanted to play somebody where you really literally jump off the high board into the deep end and just... let rip, you know. And so I think it's, since it's a comedy, it's probably better not to get too psychological about her, you know. But the main thing for me was being a fan of the first movie. I just wanted to hang out in the coffee shop and listen to these two guys talk to each other. I just wanted to stay there with them, you know. And I wanted to make sure going in that I didn't upset that chemistry. You know, it was like seeing a really wonderful painting and saying, okay, this part's for you, and you want to have exactly the right color, the right tone, all of that, so that the painting is, you know, beautiful. So,
Kathy, to follow that up, it's a two-part question, first with you and then with Billy. Between American horror with its violence and this with its blue material, is this a turn for you? Would you have done something like this 20 years ago? Is this a new path?
Yeah. I'm really glad that I have the craft to do it well now. You know, I think I would have been at sea years ago had someone offered me a role. First of all, because I would have been too young to understand a lot about the world and about who I was playing. So, but I'm not sure, you mean that it would affect my future career, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, we're actors, you know? We love to play all kinds of different parts. Is that answering your question?
I think it does, and I wanted to talk about the chemistry between you two, because I don't think you've worked together before, and having her as your mom and having him as your son, does that chemistry pop out immediately, or do you create it, or?
Well, we're kind of from the same neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that, Billy?
Yeah, well, Kathy's from Memphis, and I'm from across the river in Arkansas. And so we had sort of not only similar backgrounds in a lot of ways, but also we've had sort of parallel careers. I mean, we came up as, in other words, we didn't become movie stars because we were Calvin Klein models when we were 20 years old, you know what I mean? So we both became sort of movie star types by playing characters. And so we have an understanding of how when you play a character, you can't play it 70% of the way. If you're going to do something, you do it all the way. If you're playing, I was telling somebody yesterday, if you're playing Pat Boone, you got to play Pat Boone. And you can't say, well, yeah, but can I be a little more edgy? No, you got to play Pat Boone. And if you're playing Charles Manson, you can't say, well, I don't want to look bad. You got to look bad. And so, you know, I think that alone, when you're an actor, you know, and the way Kathy and I came up, you know, we're taught that, you know, by the people that we revered, you know, that the reason we liked those people is because they went all the way in. And so, yeah, I mean, and you know, you can't manufacture chemistry, that's for sure. I mean, it's got to be there. And we had worked together 20 years ago in Primary Colors, but we only had like one scene together or something, you know, and so it was really good to be around her on a regular basis every day. And
she's fun?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's funny because, you know, she's one of the sweetest women in the world, and yet for some reason, because she plays those kind of characters, and I've played some of the characters that I have, sometimes when people meet the both of us, they say things like, oh, you're so nice, like it's a surprise. And I mean, it's shocking to me, you know. And so, you know, people like hide around the corner and ask for autograph, you know. But you know, the fact of the matter is it was just, it's very easy to fall in with everybody up here. It's very, very easy to fall in with them.
I only have one regret, is because I love Christina and I wish we had some scenes together.
I know. We were across the room from each other for one scene.
I know. Yeah. I know.
In my mind, you had some scenes together. Yeah.
We have a question from Facebook. Adam from Facebook writes, how does it feel to have the original Thurman Merman in Bad Santa 2? So tell us about how important it was to have the original Thurman Merman, Brett Kelly, come back.
Why don't you answer that?
What, for me, how important? I think that goes without saying. Sitting in a dark room somewhere right now.
Yeah. But, no, I say it was kind of crucial for me. I mean, it was something that, it was one of the big selling features to actually like see him and realize like all that source of humor and like the cherry pop lady and the fact that like you're gonna try to like get him laid but then be kind of horrified, like I don't really want to see him get laid, you know. It's like all that mine of humor was just so funny because he's now like this kind of overgrown version of his baby self. So you know, I was so thrilled that he was like around and game and up for it. Certainly made a huge difference for me.
Well, you know, I got to say this right now because maybe not everybody knows it. I think we said it at the time on the first movie, but originally, producers, studio, whatever, and various people in the first movie, didn't want Tony or Brett. They wanted two other actors. And Terry Zwigoff, to his great credit, came to me and said, "Dude, these people are insane." They said, you got to see these guys. And Tony I knew from a couple of things. And the one you did with Jim Carrey, right, and myself and Irene, I knew from that, and, which I loved. And then they wanted another actor who was like a very trained actor, a really good actor. And Terry just said, "But here's the thing. Tony is funny. He's just funny, and he's perfect for the part." And I said, "I agree." So I got on Terry's side, and we pushed that through. And then when I saw Brett, and he finally got down, because he had chicken pox originally, and he couldn't come back down there. And I said, "Well, he's got chicken pox. We'll cast somebody else." And Terry said, "You can't. You got to wait." So he made his way back down there. And within 2 seconds, I was like, "Are you kidding me? I mean, this is like the Marlon Brando of Farming Moments." You know? And so that happened. And so when we first started doing the second movie, when we were gearing up for it, and this was before Mark was even on, and you know, we had other producers, writers, you know, kind of working on it. And across the board, people were saying, "Well, all they needed was just me. We don't have to have the kid. How do we figure him back in? And how do we get Tony back? I mean, he tried to kill you and all this kind of stuff." I said, "You don't understand something. This is like going to see ZZ Top and like only, you know, Dusty Hill's the only one left, and the guitar player is Steve Vai, and the drummer is Tommy Lee." It's like, that ain't ZZ Top. And so you got to have this true. I said, that's what people want to see.
Yeah.
They don't want to see just Bad Santa. They want to see those three together. And so that's how it kind of worked out. And we were very adamant about that. And then, as it turns out, it was just like before. I mean, in equal parts. So we're really happy it happened.
Yes, this question is for Ms. Christina. When I watched this film, because what I love about the first film and this sequel, you know, is the fact that Will, your character Will, has that ladies' man appeal, even though other people would see him as loser, nasty, or dirty. It's like, this guy always gets some. How does he always get some? He always gets laid. But so I can relate. I can relate to Tony's character. It's like, what? I tried, and you got it instead of me. So let me ask you, Ms. Christina, what do you think that Bill's character has that makes good girls go bad?
Well, I think it is because he's dirty and naughty, of course. And that sort of I don't give a shit. Somehow girls like that. It's like the person who doesn't like the cat. The cat always comes and sits on your lap, right? And I think they have similar hobbies.
That's funny.
Thank you. This question's for Billy. You kind of mentioned about the chemistry between you and Kathy, but I wanted to ask you, what do you admire most about her? She's such a great actress, and we all look up to her, but what do you admire most about her?
You know, it's...
La, 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 la.
I think, you know, one of the things that... something that Robert Duvall, who was my mentor, said to me years and years ago has stuck with me forever. And there's a common misconception that, and this is just about the acting part, that subtle is great. And in fact, Duvall said to me one time, in his way, he said, "There's a very thin line between subtle and boring." So in other words, when you see this very sort of posy, affected sort of, that voice thing, that's not necessarily good. And what a good actor should do is whatever that person is, that's what you got to be. So in real life, people are hyperactive, they're loud, sometimes they're quiet, sometimes they're pensive, you know, whatever it is. So that's your actual job as an actor. You take whatever character that is and whatever situation it is, and you make those moments real. You don't develop some kind of style that, not naming names, but I mean, over the years there have been actors whose whole thing has just been, you know, that. And so, all right. But you can't do that if you're playing, you know, Woody Woodpecker. And so Kathy knows that. She has an instinct about...
I'm Woody Woodpecker.
No, meaning that whatever the part calls for, if it calls for the person who just stares at the napkin, that's what she does. But if it calls for Woody Woodpecker, she can do that. I mean, good actors can do all of it, and that's what I admire about her. But also, first and foremost, she's truthful as a person and as an actor. So you don't ever have a moment where you look at her in a scene or in life and think she's bullshitting you. And that's what I'd say the main thing about her is.
Back at you.
Hi, Samantha Philly Prince, Can We Press? I loved this movie, laughed so hard, definitely topped the first. So this question's for Moore. Now, I know that initially you were supposed to bring back Willie's father, but at some point the dynamics changed and Kathy was obviously the great choice to bring him board. But I wanted you to talk about when that changed from bringing back Willie's father to actually making it a mother, if you could talk about that.
I'm going to punt this over to Billy because, like, I think you were the one who drove that. And right, but like, literally, the script they sent me before they sent it, they went through and changed all the S-O-N-N-Y's to S-U-N-N-Y's. And they actually hadn't really completed even the idea of it. And then they gave it to me, and I was like, oh, good, Kathy Bates. You know, and but at the same time, like, the inception of that, I think, was something that was driven by him, so.
Well, actually, it was something that I can't remember who it was now, but someone mentioned it. Somebody said, you know what? Because we're trying to crack this idea of the father. The problem with having a father was is you kind of had two Willies. You know what I mean? Which, by the way, I do. But
that's in a three. Yeah.
But...
That's why he gets the ladies.
That's why. Yeah.
It's like the space shuttle. But anyway, so that was the problem with it, was that one, if you had another man playing my father doing kind of what I'm doing, then it just made it too close. And somebody said, well, hey, what if it's the mother? And then all of us said, that's brilliant. And then somebody said, how about Kathy Bates? And we said, that's brilliant. And that's how it happened. It was very, very quick and easy. So, but to make that maternal thing a part of it as opposed to the father thing. I mean, the original idea was like a Jack Nicholson or Bruce Dern or, you know, someone like that, which would have been astoundingly good in something like that. But story-wise, it just seems like the same character. You know, playing off each other, just one slightly older than the other. So that's how it happened.
Yeah, and the emotional long con that Sonny does works so much better as a mother, because even though he kind of hates and distrusts her, you kind of secretly still want to love your mother, and so even though he resists, you eventually believe that he's going to get, like, sucked into her web again. Mm.
Rich McCain, a syndicated columnist. This is a two-part question. First for Kathy, I've admired you for so long because you bring such an intensity to these roles. And a lot of times I've asked myself, after the camera stops, how long does it take you to shake that off? And then for the whole cast, you guys insulted each other. But the flow was so natural. In order to get that kind of flow, do you really have to trust one another, or are you just professional actors? Because you guys nailed it.
I forgot God, my question. What was the first one?
Can you shake it off after?
Oh, you know, actually, I learned an important lesson. Many, many years ago, I was playing a woman who commits suicide on Broadway.
Nightmother.
Yeah, and just coincidentally, my father had tried to kill himself because he had diabetes and he was facing an amputation, and he was in his 80s, you know, and my mother found him in time and revived him. I was getting ready to do the play in that fall. And so we went ahead with the amputation, and I was helping him one day, and I, you know, it's all that BS that you give. Like, come on, Dad, you got a lot to live for, blah, 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 83. And he said, you know how I feel. You're doing that play up there. And so I took that experience with me into the play, and as a result, we over an 11-month period of playing it on Broadway, it got so close to me that I had to stop. And so it was a real crossroads for me in my work as an actor, that if you want to be immersed so that you can really be in the moment and respond, as Billy said, realistically as a character instead of just being natural, you have to fulfill all those realistic demands. And I had to leave the play for a day or two, you know, and I realized you can't be so screwed up and so in something. I mean, I would see my partner was a two-hander, and I suddenly realized, oh, my mother has those house shoes. Or I pulled down the attic lamp, and it's like made in Memphis, Tennessee, and so I felt like I was being gaslighted. You know, it was just like invading me. And I realized then, I learned this hard lesson, that as much as I want to really be, you know, just that character and not feel any part of myself, that I have to be professional. You know, it's like being an opera singer. You can't cry and sing at the same time. You know, and that I had to be professional and leave it at home. I mean, out on the stage home, which is home for me. But in some of the roles that I played recently, like in American Horror Story, if I'm doing something really horrendous, I actually go through a ritual when I take my costume and my makeup off, and I visualize removing all of that negative energy from myself. And I find that really helps. To that, it's not me, it's somebody else. I'm not this person who would make those choices or say those things. I don't know, this is a comedy, but you asked, so that's how I work.
And about the chemistry, the flow with the insults, is it, is it trust or is it professionalism?
Well, with Tony, as Mark said, Tony is literally maybe the nicest guy I ever met. And so on the first movie, it's astounding how good he is at insulting people and cussing me out when he's so nice. And on the first movie, there was one scene. You may remember this when you beat me up on the chair.
Oh yeah.
And Terry, Tony, I really want you to get up there on him. But Tony just doesn't have that part of him that made him want to beat me up, because we were buddies, you know. And I told him one day that his wife had been flirting with me. Terry said, "Is there anything you can do to, you know?" And I just went to Tony in all seriousness and said, "Dude, I don't know what it is with your wife, man, but she just won't let me out." Oh. He started slapping me in the face. The next take was perfect. And then after that, I said, "I was just messing with you." But anyway, he does have an amazing knack for. It was a tribute to him as an actor that he can be that genuinely good a human being and be able to be that nasty. It's pretty great.
When we were developing the script, he called me and said, "Look, Mark, we got to go over some lines here." He says, "This one that says Jesus, Willie, yeah, I got a problem with that." And he's a very devout Christian, so we changed that. It's like, "I don't like when I say Christ here." You know, so okay, we're going to take that out too. It's like, you know, and what do you think about this line? It's like, "Oh, you mean gonorrhea wears rubber to protect itself from your cocky fucking piece of shit motherfucker?" Is it, "Oh, yeah, give it that." Yeah, that's so cool. All right,
guys, I think we have time for one more question.
Hi, I'm Ben Kemmerer. I'm with The Ultimate Rabbit. And first, I just want to say Willie has one hell of a liver. Also, Billy and Kathy, I hear you two worked on your backstories a lot for this movie. I was just curious, what specifically did you come up with that you really agreed on and which really helped to inform your performances?
Well, I think, you know, one day, I remember one day we were talking that maybe they were probably carny together, you know, a con artist and lived in that atmosphere. Nothing against carnies, but, you know, that we figured that that's probably where they were from. And what else, Billy?
Yeah, I mean, it's the sort of idea that I was sort of like the artful Dodger and she was Fagin. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that sort of idea that I grew up being, well, it even says in there, you know, that she used to just sell me out to do stuff for her all the time, you know. And so we were sort of grifters, you know, in a way. And so it's not like Willie doesn't have an understanding of what she does and, you know, and why she's that way and then why I'm the way I am. You know, we, you know, grew up rough in a weird kind of, you know, business. So, yeah, that was mainly it. And but, you know, it's like, and also you can see the mother-son sort of relationship, because you know how, like, if you're watching a movie with your parents, my mom's 83, and if I'm watching a movie and somebody starts making out, I get so embarrassed. and when I'll never forget when my mom called me once, and she said she'd been to see my movie, and I was like, what movie? Because I never even thought she would even know that this existed. And she'd just gone to see Monster's Ball with her best friend.
Oh, Lord.
And I was like, why did you do that? How could you do that to me? You know? And so, anyway.
I'm to see your two penises.
And she said, I thought she did a real good job. And I'm like, oh. So anyway. But I'm still that way. Like, I've never said the F word around my mother to this day, and she's 83. I mean, so there is the scene where Kathy is the dildo, and, yeah. And you can see the kid and the mother in that scene. It's kind of like, golly, I mean, don't, you know, do that. So I think we had that part, too. We had, yeah. You could see a mother and son in there. You can see them when he was 10 and she was 16. No. But yeah, it's I think we felt it you know, in there when we did talk about it to a degree, but a lot of it just came naturally, you know.
You know what, can I just say one last thing? I remember doing a movie years and years ago with Dustin Hoffman, and it was my first big, well, it wasn't a big part, but my first talking part, and Gary Busey was in it, but his son Jake was in it, and he was 5. And so Jake got the part, but Gary said, you want to take the night? Think about it. So Jake came back the next day, and he said, well, yeah, I'll do the movie, because I think acting is pretending, but making believe like you're not pretending. And I thought, okay, nice. That's it, you know. Lee Strasberg, you can go home. You know, that about says it all.
Well, on that note, thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you guys.